This is the Coronation Podcast.
Good day, viewers. My name is Obi Dixon, Team Lead Compliance in Coronation Merchant Bank. Today, we bring you a very interesting topic. Topic that helps you appreciate the world as we know it. Looking back where we're coming from, and futuristically where we hope to be. We'll be discussing AI and the future of work, what it means for business. With me is the Chief Information Security Officer, a seasoned professional in this subject, who will be sharing with us a wealth of experience. Please welcome Faye Jimmy Adewale. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Glad to be here.
So we'll start quickly. Now, as a layman, when I hear AI, first thing that comes to my head is ChatGPT, Copilot, those productive applications you use to fine-tune your rough thoughts, those things that you throw data into and then it just helps you make data analytics easier. From one perspective, some people see it as a partner in arm, or this would make my work easier. Some other perspective, some people will see it as a threat. And why would my player keep me if in a few years this thing could readily take my job? So how do you help to douse the fear of such people who believe that in a few years from now, when the entire concept of AI is perfected, many people will be out of jobs?
Thank you very much. I think you hit on the most genuine concern about AI, but context is required because AI didn't just start, right? If you actually look at it without getting deep or getting technical, we've actually had a journey that has brought us here. We've had automation, we've had machine learning, we've had pattern recognition, right? And all of this has culminated into AI, which, as you rightfully said, has been made popular because of productivity. Although AI can be used for a lot more. One of the things that we see AI being used for example, now, the newest trend of vibe coding, which speaks directly to your question. Some certain people have discovered that when you needed a programmer to develop an application for 6 months, somebody without a coding experience can sit down overnight with the help of AI and have that application ready to the quality of the programmer. I don't know, but you have an application ready. So yes, there is a concern that AI is moving from adopting, from helping with productivity, into replacing the tasks that some human beings do. AI is very good at, or AI was brought in to help with things that automation was doing. Automation was introduced to replace repeatable, monotonous jobs, right? Some business owners, employees looked at automation as a way of improving turnaround time, reducing expenses, right? But the fact was that you had predictable inputs and predictable outputs. And that was what automation was from. Artificial intelligence, which we call AI, and the different models of AI has come in to bring in that human touch to help automation deal with non-predictable situations and scenarios, right? Therefore, it has expanded what people could do with automation. And consequently, yes, you have some businesses looking at AI as well in the future, replacing non-essential roles, replacing reputable roles. And there's always an argument for both sides of the story. And I'm sure as we discuss, we'll look at some of those things. Thank you.
So thank you very much. I think you did justice to that question. And then hopefully as we progress, viewers will gain more insights and more perspective to the entire What we are seeking to achieve in this show is to provide an helicopter view. So we're not just looking at it from the side of business. We look at it in different aspects of everyday life. Okay. I was watching a video on Instagram recently and a surgeon was doing some setting. So he made some, an AI in short, a robot carried out an operation 100% done by the robot. However, the programming was done by a surgeon. So he was one who was going to dimension, this incision should be 6 centimeters, or it should be horizontal, not vertical. So he did those instructions, he set it out. but who did the actual cut was a robot. And now when I watched it, what came to my mind is, does that mean with AI in business, does that provide an opportunity for people to deflect responsibility? And I'll give you another example so you can answer both together. If you play FIFA, sometimes you are two on goal and you are one on one with the goalkeeper, you want to score, and you press box to shoot. A player who is right-footed, AI could make him use left foot, and then you miss the goal and you're like, that's not how to play. But the only thing you can control is for him to shoot. How he does the shooting is now AI's intervention. So now, in that way, when you're playing the game, you can deflect and say, oh, no, that was not what I wanted. I wanted him to shoot with his right foot, which is his strong foot. AI made him shoot with his weak foot, which is his left foot. In the same vein, that surgeon who was doing surgery with a robot, he's not certain the diameters and the angles and what have you. But who was doing the practical cut was a robot. If something goes wrong, or what they used was a cadaver, I don't think it was a real life, maybe human. But if something goes wrong in future when such is deployed, maybe in medical practice, would we be able to sue that surgeon for maybe negligence or human error, or would he be able to deflect and say, no, I didn't execute. I only programmed. I only imputed the instructions. Who carried out? Was it AI? Is that something?
I get you. So we're looking at properly situating accountability when AI is responsible for the action.
Yes.
It's there's a lot of discussion around this, right? And you would also find different people with different schools of thought. Now, once AI is involved, there is a lot of data that an AI system goes through. In this case, there'll be data around similar medical procedures that have been done. There'll be data about the patient, the instrumentation being used, the conditions being used. I am one of those people from the school of thought that says that an AI in charge of this process actually brings with it more discipline than a human being. Because this is both the strength and the weakness of AI, the intuition and the empathy that a human being introduces into a situation.
Yes.
Now, in some situations, the human empathy is a pro. And in other situations, it's a hindrance.
Yes.
Let me give you an example. There is a particular fan of a club, and I don't remember his name, but his story came up last week. Who used betting. From betting from his premiership club, he has now become a billionaire and owner of that club.
Right, in football.
Correct. And this was due to being able to use systems to accurately predict all the variables.
Yes.
And therefore place the right bets. And that is where a system like AI gives you an advantage, because there's no human empathy.
Yes.
If the data says that this striker is not going to perform,
yes,
a human being who has empathy or sympathy towards what the player is doing may decide that, no, if he wants to, he will rise to the occasion, he's ready to perform.
Yes.
The AI will look at the data and determine that, no, from the data being presented, from historical events of situations like this, this is the likely outcome.
Yes.
And that outcome will be treated as the certain output. And so you have that process where AI does things devoid human intuition and human empathy, right? You will find different situations where it is a pro and a con. So for us who like our nation to be defended, we like situations where the AI is on the battlefield and does not make any sympathetic or empathetic decisions and acts in accordance with what keeps the nation safe. Would you accept that same situation in a medical practice or in high finance trading? So would a customer like a situation where all indications point to the fact that this stock is going to tank, but because the trader knows the CEO and knows that the CEO is a go-getter, the company can never fail.
Yes.
Instead of pulling out, he relies on the human empathy. Well, and AI would have told that, right? So you are going to have these kind of situations, but I firmly believe that AI should introduce this objectivity that you cannot have with a human. And you have to determine the situations where that objectivity is a pro and when it is a con. And I think in most financial processes, you are going to have a mix of both. And that is also my argument for the fact that no matter how much AI takes over, you will need a human in the loop. That is, you will need a human to still provide some oversight or guidance.
That's very well put, and thank you for the response. So since you brought in empathy and intuition, so with AI, it got me thinking as you're speaking, is it a case of there's no end in sight to the possibilities? So today now we have cars driving themselves.
Yeah.
We have softwares where you can just input telexes, invoices, receipts, and it generates income statement, it generates balance sheet. So maybe, who knows, in the future we could have softwares that you just deploy and then automatically maybe it will tell you, oh, the KYC on this customer would soon expire. It will even make the application, maybe for example, maybe your passport is about to expire. Automatically the system clicks, okay, Fejimi's passport expired. You click on it, application already sent to Nigerian Immigration Service. So AI could get there. It's sometimes, you know, because we're at this point in time, man, we're limited by space and time. So at this point in time, what is on ground is what we know.
True.
But with things like intuition, things like sympathy, or empathy rather, do you think is an edge man would always have over AI? Or do you think there can be an end to AI? It can only get wider and bigger. The scope can only increase.
Yes.
Or can things like those sixth sense as a sport, intuition, yeah, empathy, do you think is an edge man will always have over it, or there's no end in sight to the possibilities it is?
Interesting question. Brings up another concept of AI that may not be generally known, and it's called singularity. So singularity is that theoretical point that some people postulate where AI becomes more intelligent than HI. So you have artificial intelligence becoming more intelligent than human intelligence. Now, that point, this singular point, is supposed to usher in breakthroughs, because you're going to have tech that can build tech. You're going to have breakthroughs in all fields of science. And then you have the potential for having a doomsday scenarios where tech and AI decides that human beings are no longer needed or an impediment to progress. So singularity is that theoretical point postulated by some scientists and prominent businessmen like the owner of Tesla as to why AI advancement should be limited or governed, right? So there's a possibility for that in time. But where we are today, I would say AI cannot take the place of human empathy, human cognition, human intuition. Right? In situations where predictable outcomes or outputs are okay, irrespective of the larger implications of those outcomes, I think AI and automation should be adopted. But in situations where there are ramifications to those decisions, humans are always required. I'll give you an example from my own field in cybersecurity. We have tools we've had for a long time that are able to look at the way a system is performing. And if it deviates from what the system normally does, you have an automated intelligent tool that should automatically tick off that solution. But you find out that it is so efficient that most people that have the tools cannot employ it for critical solutions because you don't want to take off your core financial services in the middle of a busy period like 30 December because it is behaving in the way it hasn't behaved all year. So even though you have that powerful tool, we still have to leverage the humans in the cybersecurity function to provide some oversight and just rely on the tool to alert you. So there are situations that you are going to have to adopt a similar model, leverage the strength of the AI. It could be in investment decisions. It could be in picking your investment options. It could be in analyzing your financial reports and deciding how to split your income. But human oversight and intuition still play a large role. I gave an example before where the human being's knowledge was a detriment. I said, for example, the trader does not pull the option because he believes
the CEOs
will always bounce back. But there are situations where your intuition is right.
Yes.
You know that this person is a go-getter. This person never fails. And so if you look at the data does not correspond with your intuition. That's what makes you human. But every organization, every business, every employer, every employee needs to decide at what point if they are comfortable relying on human intuition versus artificial intelligence execution.
Thank you very much. I'm sure that while you were answering, you delved into some things that I want to ask, you know, so because sometimes thoughts come into us as we're speaking. So it needs to unanswered questions being told. I think you did a very good job with that. Some time ago, we had a conference. A regulator invited all CCOs. And then some banks, for those not in banking, CCOs means chief compliance officers. Some banks expressed their position that they've written seeking approval to deploy AI in their compliance function. And the regulator responded in that conference that they are hesitant to grant such approvals because they have some concerns. Now, those concerns are, one, what are the stress testing done before you commence the deployment of AI in your compliance function? What are the risk mitigants? What are the governance structure around deployment of such solutions? Another one is, what happens if it goes rogue? Because we've seen it happen in, if you watch some sci-fi movies where it just goes out of what was programmed, you know? So, and I think even in this, if you use maybe basic AI tools, you see under, there's always that
disclaimer. Weapon.
Yes. So those were some concerns the regulator put out. And from a third party perspective, it makes sense. However, if you also look at it as an operator, people need to compete globally. The world is now a global village, so that we can't be left out what people who are doing in the same line of business with us, and maybe in Asia or in the Middle East or maybe in North America, what they are doing, we can't be left out. So because everyone wants to have that competitive edge, sometimes it seems like, do you think the regulators have a good point, or do you think they should really put controls and grant approvals? What do you think? What is your view about that?
Excellent situation. Excellent question. Because it's a situation that comes up often, and to come up with AI, I mean, it's interesting. I have 3 points quickly. First is, as a caveat, let's understand that in the course of civilization, every new improvement of technology has come with job losses and job creation. All inflection points, from the creation of cars, the creation of aeroplanes, right, have all come with job losses and job creation. I mean, that is something you can do some study on and clear.
Absolutely.
The second point is this. For every new technology introduced, it goes through 3 stages. You have the rejection stage, where everybody doubts, without evidence, that it can't do what it promises.
When 5G came.
Excellent.
We said, it was going to cause cancer. Some said it was cause...
It by default.
Word, enough.
Just by default. Without historical data, it's rejected.
5G, yes.
Then, secondly, it is trusted, accepted, and it's accepted. In fact, let me say it's accepted. So people have come to say, okay, this is what is obtainable.
Yes.
And then the third stage is that it is trusted. And at this point, it's not even questioned. Now, funnily enough, some of the concerns some people had at the first stage now become germane, but because they are the trusted stage, they no longer
can. Yeah, exactly.
And that's why we have some people, unfortunately, in this part of the world who build their houses under high tension cables. So you have those 3 stages. The regulator is right. The regulator is right because a regulator granting explicit approval moves everybody to the stage of trust.
Yes.
And that's why I ask that today, how many people count the money they withdraw from an ATM? Yes. There's implicit trust.
Yes, and the machine is correct.
Yes, the machine is correct. So for the regulator to move us to that stage, they need to be sure that all those controls have been put in. It is difficult to evaluate the completeness of a check on a technology that you don't fully know anything about. You don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
So how do you validate things that you don't even know yet? So there are situations that may not have arisen, and the regulator is expected to validate. And that's why you find out that in any new frontier, if you check the space race, if you check deep sea exploration race, the private sector always leads innovation. And when they've reached a certain point, they bring the regulators in to say, this is what we've done. These are the things we've tested. Take the data, validate, and establish your controls. But as an organization, as a sector, if we are waiting for the regulator, because the regulator cannot simulate every scenario,
so
they cannot deal with every AI use case.
Yes.
I mean, if you check what different financial institutions are doing with AI outside this region,
yes,
I mean, they are doing a lot of things. The regulator cannot be expected to independently assess and verify that.
Absolutely.
So it's a call to the financial service institutions, to interested, forward-thinking customers to say, what are we doing? What are we doing that, for example, streamlines the safe adoption of AI for financial services? E.g., what are the organizations doing to ensure that they don't use their consumer data to train their AI models?
And so that brings us to data protection.
Correct, like data protection.
So that was also a concern.
That was a concern, yes. It always be a concern.
Same up too.
So I think the organizations need to come together, bring all these data, and show the regulator that there is a way.
Something that gives them a measure of comfort.
Comfort to adopt this. And then with that data, we can now expect the regulator to act accordingly.
Okay, so you've answered all our questions correctly, and viewers, if you're listening, I hope we're able to. Time would not permit us to possibly explore every question, every possible question you might want to ask, but I hope we're able to touch similar or a bit or near case of things that may bother you on the adoption of AI. Well, quickly before you go, what would you say to the older generation? I mean, the baby boomers and above, who they are having a hard time. So, okay, so things like Siri or Apple, where you can speak to your phone, play this music. I'm not sure if you do that in front of your grandmother, she would not turn around to say, who did you tell to play that thing? You know? So you have things like you can talk to a smartwatch and you say, make this call, all those type of where we are at the moment. How do we, because AI seems like a big job. I mean, these are people who are just barely getting to, they're barely getting to grasp with things like use of tablets, internet, and what have you. Now I'm having to tell them that there's going to be softwares, applications that can do what human beings are doing. I mean, I'm trying to picture an elderly woman in a car and nobody's driving it and the car is moving. The car will probably get to its destination but have a hypertensive syndrome. You know, so what can you say to such people listening that to give them a bit of comfort that this thing is not, you know, in this part of the world, we fear what we can't see. Things we can't explain, the mind makes it up. You know, and it's because there's a nature above vacuum. So when there's a vacuum in terms of knowledge, you just make up something. That's what brings about things like conspiracy theories. Because you can't explain how this becomes this, you just make up something and it makes sense to you. So what can you say to the older generation who probably feel they are kicked, for lack of a better word, like, we can't just keep up with this. This is something that you're telling me, something else is thinking, is executing human activities. What would you say to such people?
I would say that I understand the shock. I understand the new way of life being presented. And I would encourage that in one way, manner or form, no matter how little, that there needs to be some sort of adoption of AI. I was one of those people born right at the generation where scientific calculators was in happen, and we were forced to memorize and know how to use our logbooks.
Yes.
And I was part of the four-figure club. Yes.
Four-figure table.
For not using, bringing the four-figure table. And I remember people that were sent out of the halls for not bringing the four-figure table. And I remember the discussions around calculator and going to spoil the children, that they will not be brilliant and they will not be intuitive,
yes,
and all of that. But today, I mean, primary school students use scientific calculators without issue. What is being banned is something totally different.
Yes.
So some of these technologies have come to stay. It is best to drive the adoption. So I would say that there's room for adoption for everyone. Yeah. AI, funny enough, is such a vast field. There's basic, intermediate, experts, and superhuman, funny enough. There are little ways AI can be adopted in day-to-day life, in day-to-day activities. It has come to stay. The best thing we can do is direct how we adopt it, so that we always have a say in the way it is used, in the moral and ethical use of AI. So shying away from it will not help. Finding ways to adopt AI will be the best way to go. That being said, AI is not taking over everything tomorrow. So there's still a lot of time, and there are still a lot of activities that will take some time before AI gets introduced. So it should not be a big bang approach and think that by tomorrow there'll be nothing to do if you're not using AI. Just be open to opportunities to adopt it and try to change little by little when those opportunities come. That would be my advice to you.
Okay, so thank you very much. Well said. I think you did great justice to the topic. So, in your view, what are the key takeaways for our viewers?
Thank you once again for the opportunity to discuss this and given how critical it is to a lot of people. I would like the viewers to remember that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, but it isn't magic. It's just a complex series of actions that once understood become easy to follow, and that's what AI is. So just follow it piece by piece, trend by trend, adopt as little as possible, and tomorrow all of us will be using AI together.
Because with controls in place,
with controls in place.
Thank you very much for that. Done great justice to this. And to our viewers, any inquiries you have on subjects, on banking, please scan the QR code on your screen or send a mail to the email address right there, also on the same screen. So we'll come your way next time for Coronation Machangu. Have a great day. Thank you.
This is the Coronation Podcast.